It's been 50 years since Arthur Ashe won Wimbledon. And to celebrate, at the beginning of each of our daily Wimbledon pods, we're teaming up with the Arthur Ashe Legacy at UCLA to share stories that bring that win to life. Enjoy the pod.
Arthur Ashe was an interesting character because he was, whereas I think when someone like Serena Williams played Hingis or someone like that, the crowd pretty much weren't on Serena Williams's side, not even sure they were on Althea Gibson's side. When Ashe played Connors, I think he took the crowd with him. I think most people wanted him to win. And there was something about Ashe that I found quite interesting, that sort of transcended race. Ashe had something about him that made him bigger than race. And so I don't think people didn't want him to win because he was black. They wanted him to win because they liked him better than Connors, because he was a nicer man than Connors, because he was a more rounded, more person than Connors. So therefore, I think people were rooting for him, which is interesting, isn't it? It's interesting. Mm-hmm. So there was something about Ashe that was particularly special in that way, that he was a very cosmopolitan figure. Mm-hmm. In a way that, I mean, Serena Williams has now become incredibly, but in a way that they didn't ever quite take to Serena Williams, where I think racism was a factor.
Hello, guys. Welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to day two at Wimbledon. Yes, 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 sir. As some of you are aware, we are on site giving you live pods on a daily basis. I hope you guys enjoyed today's oral histories from the Arthur Ashe Legacy at UCLA to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Arthur Ashe winning his first Wimbledon title. I kept it short today. Yesterday one was long. You know, it was the first one.
Made
was
sense, an intro. Exactly, for the first one.
Yeah, yeah, it was the first one just to get you guys grooved. But yeah, there's a lot more coming. But, you know, so yes, I hope you guys are enjoying this. And if you do want to know more, like more stories, even outside of the Arthur Ashe Wimbledon title win, we do have two episodes on our channel and podcast, whatever. So we have one on how he helped form the ATP, yes, the ATP tour, you know,
one of the founding members.
Another one about his historical trip to South Africa. There is way more. Once you listen to that episode, guys, you understand why people always bring up that trip. So yeah, again, a massive shout out to the Arthur Ashe Legacy at UCLA for this opportunity. But yeah, Eugene, day two. How are you feeling?
Good.
Very
good.
Hot today. Very humid.
It was a very hot day today.
Yeah, I am tanned up. I feel like I just came back from Ibiza. Shout out to Carlos Alcaraz.
Another sizzler. She says, shout out to Carlos Alcaraz wearing the bucket hat as well.
I'm wearing the bucket hat as well. Yes.
But no, I say good day. A lot of defeats
compared to our day one.
But good tennis though. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was another hot day, like, but yeah. Enjoyable. How did you find it?
I did find it good. It was a bit hectic for us because there was literally four or five matches at the same time while also going to press.
Today felt like the proper start.
Yeah, I feel like yesterday there was one point where there was a lot of matches at the same time, but it wasn't to this extent.
I thought day one we were able to actually watch kind of at least a bit of every single match, whereas today there were some matches I didn't see a ball.
Literally didn't see anything. So
it was crazy.
But yeah. So to be if expected. We exactly. So guys, please bear. I'm glad we said that, because if we forget something about the match, just know that there's chances that it was a thing of like, we either missed it because we came late or we had to leave early to go to press or to go to another match. Yeah. It is only Eugene and I, but at the same time, the beauty of this, it just shows to you how many black players are actually killing it and made it to the main draw of Wimbledon. So it is tough, but shout out to the black tennis players for playing their best. And trying to make it. The spirit of Arthur Ashe is here, boy. It's here. But so should we go to the first
win of the day?
Mm-hmm.
Lucky loser, Victoria Mboko.
Victoria Mboko.
I think everybody was like, I've said here, she's like everybody's favorite player. I think everybody was kind of hoping and wishing that she would get in as a lucky loser. Because obviously she lost final round of qualifying.
No, for real. Because when we tweeted it, and also the Tennis Weekly podcast, when they tweeted, because we tweeted around the same time because the email was sent to media, we both did crazy numbers on Twitter. Like, people were like going like, oh, yes, yes. And even before that, you know, people were like, wait, there's been, I think another player pulled out and it was like, wait, how come Mboko didn't go through? As soon as I saw the email subject withdrawal and I saw women's, I opened that. Unfortunate to Anastasia Potapova, yes. Speedy recovery or whatever's going on there. But shout out to Victoria Mboko, who got through as a lucky loser. And throughout her match, so it's funny because I luckily was, her match was like on court 9 and Hayley Baptiste's match was on court 10 and I was in the middle. So guys, what I had to do was just turn around. I was having the best day, best moment ever.
I like the post you tweeted. Is it a GIF? GIF? You basically looking
left, right. Yeah. And it was, and I thought it would be tough, but luckily the courts weren't too busy because it was getting hot, getting towards the end of the day. So it was easy for me to see. Obviously, I'm 5'1", so sometimes I did have to tiptoe. Baptiste's court was way busier compared to Mboko, but Mboko's court was getting busier. That's because she was really...
Mboko was playing Magdalena Freck, who is Polish and a seed.
I know.
So, yeah, 25th seed as well.
Yeah,
so
I know, yeah.
That's quite interesting.
I know, yeah, yeah. But as the match was going, more people were coming. You could see that people were like, oh, who's this girl? Okay. You know, because obviously it's starting up. I did hear some people shouting, let's go Vicky and stuff and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it's starting off there. But regarding her match, she wasted no time.
6-3, 6-2 win.
6-3, 6-2 win. She wasted no time. She came in and she just started like breaking. I think her opponent, like Freck, I think she didn't really expect her to be playing well.
Yeah.
But yeah, what was more interesting with her is that she found out at the very last minute, as in during her press, she literally said like, I was eating my lunch, chilling. Like, she was just having like a chill day. And she was like told like, yeah. Like, she had a very, very short period of time. So the fact that it was so quick, she didn't really have time to prep. She didn't really have time to, you know, go through everything, like in terms of, you know, scouting like her opponent and everything. And bear in mind, although she played juniors, there's like main draw.
Yeah,
so it's a different,
the big league.
Exactly. There's a different ball game. Yes, she played qualifying, which she lost, unfortunately, but that's in Roehampton. That's another thing as well about Wimbledon, is that the qualities, like matches are not actually on the ground.
Different site.
Which I find so interesting. So players, when they get there for the first time, is completely different. Grass is already different. So can't even imagine that. But one thing that I do want to add something that she mentioned during her press about like preparing herself like mentally and why she felt more ready to play better during the main draw than compared to the qualifying where she lost.
I would understand why it would be such a disadvantage, but I think for this instance, it kind of helped me a lot because I was so relaxed and I had no thought in my mind that I was going to play a match. So because it was just such a relaxing morning and so slow and chill that I didn't really feel any nerves going into it. I didn't really feel like I was about to play a match. So that obviously helped me a lot with the nerves part. And it helped me be a lot looser on court because I technically wasn't supposed to be there.
But yeah, it looks like it was all mental. It was all mental. Really glad that she was able to calm down her nerves. But she said I'm not too surprised about what she said because she's always been open about wanting to play at bigger courts, big matches and so on. And she's a very confident girl.
Yeah,
like,
for 18 years old, it's crazy.
Like, when I was at Oppress, like, she was talking as if, like, she's done, she's been there before. Like, she was just very open. And some of the journalists that she spoke to, she didn't speak to us before. Like, there's some that she asked, but she was just talking. Like, yeah. even at the end, she even made, we even had a little chat because I stayed for the French... there was one French reporter And then right at the end, she was like, do you understand French? Because I kept seeing you like nodding. So we were laughing about that.
Victoria said that.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, she was like, oh, I saw you like nodding. I was like, yeah, I speak it, but I'm not like. And then we kind of had like a little joking moment about being able to speak French, but being too shy to speak French.
Because her heritage is Cameroonian.
No, Congo.
Is it Congo?
Oh, yeah, Congo, RDC. Okay. Shout out to the Congo RDC people, them. So, because even her, when she was speaking, she already said that she's already more comfortable in English, but
so she was speaking, answering in French.
She was answering in French, but she's way more fluent in English. Okay. If I'm correct, she is from Toronto, right?
Yeah, although I think she was actually born in the States.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think
okay.
she was actually born okay, in cool. the States, but grew up in Canada. But okay, again, cool. I need to double check that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Yeah. But honestly, her press went well. She was talking about how, like, you know, having a limited time to prep and...
Just on the match as well, because this, not only was it her Wimbledon main draw debut,
mm-hmm.
it was also her first top 30 win.
Oh, wow.
Like, so to get that on already? Top of this being, like... Yeah, the first time you're playing at the Wimbledon Major. Like, it's very significant. But yeah, like I love the fact that there were like so many milestones on such a special day. Like
mm-hmm.
her coming in as a lucky loser, her taking advantage, winning, doing it in straight sets, beating a seed. And then, yeah, not only was that player seeded, that was a top 30 player too. That's her first top 30 win. Like, mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot more milestones that Mboko is going to like tick off like over her career, but
and she also impressive. Wasn't able to do something that she felt like could have helped her even more, which was like being able to play more matches like on grass.
Okay,
because she was talking about how like with grass you need to play a little bit more, get used to the surface, and is a surface that she feels that is very difficult to get used to, but she managed to do it. And I know there was a lot of comments also about her knees, because she had like heavy wrap, like around.
Tape
around. And she basically explained, like, she said that, no, she's actually fine, guys, because that's all you guys trying to make it seem like she's injured. That, no, it's just actually fine. It's just that grass is very like tough on her knees.
Okay.
So it was more of like just to like protect it and to get like used to it, but she's fine. And that's what she explained. So we're all good, guys, in terms of like whatever, because you guys are trying to make some assumptions, but yeah. But a massive shout out to Mboko. This will be such a great tournament for her. I feel like her playing style does like go well. Yeah. I did also ask her like if, because I felt like she wasn't playing with that much power.
Okay.
Because I said to her, I was like, okay, this is my first time watching this. I may be completely wrong here, like obviously in person, but I feel like you didn't hit with that much power. Was it because you were trying to get used to the surface and so on? And she just explained that she felt like she didn't really need to, or maybe need to because of the opponent, or maybe like on TV just looks like mad, like fast or something, but I don't know. But yeah, but she knows her stuff, man. So,
who's she playing next, Lucy? Like you said, we're winning, but at what cost?
We're winning, but at what cost? She is facing Hayley Baptiste next.
And Baptiste, what a win she got today.
What a win. What a battle.
After losing the
first set. And can I just say, why is it always Hayley Baptiste facing the black players? Have you not noticed that? So many times.
What do you mean?
Like so many times. Like anytime like she's like, well, she's at a tournament, we're thinking, yeah, and then it's always her that ends up playing like a black player. She played like Keys. She played a lot of black players this season. I can't remember the top of my head, but I do remember always seeing Baptiste's name. And I was just like, come on, guys, don't do this to us. But yeah, but Hayley Baptiste, she was playing...
Serena Chestale.
Yes.
Lost the first set in a tiebreak. 7-0 in that tiebreak. It's way to bounce back, like... Because she just kind of took, I say kind of, she completely took over after that first set and looked pretty comfortable.
Yeah, she did. Like, she was literally up like 4-1 or something. And then Kirsty like just picked up as well. But yeah, honestly, that match, like it was very impressive seeing how she was able to just switch things around. She was hitting some really nice shots, especially on that second set as well. It was just crazy how she was
able to 6-1, 6-2 in the end.
Yeah, it was just crazy how she was able to just switch things around like so quickly, which could actually kind of touch to what she mentioned during press a lot. Like she was talking about like changing up her mentality and so on. So yeah, this is what she had to say.
I think that before I would make Grand Slam such a big thing, like, and I put so much pressure on, you know, just winning one match to where once I got to the second round, I was almost satisfied with not going out in the first round in a way. And so I guess I'm like kind of taking it more like any other tournament and just facing my opponent rather than the tournament.
So, yeah, I mean, I've kind of said it before as well that I feel like on a mental perspective, she's definitely changed up and it's been really different. And I think that's what's really been helping her this season, which is basically what she said. So, yeah, honestly, she just seems like really locked in. And she did have like some up and down with the grass, like some grass matches before she got to Wimbledon. So, yeah, I always knew this match was going to be a tough one, but I knew she'll be able to like push through because Kirstie's grass season wasn't the best either, and she did beat her just a couple months ago, but it was on clay. So yeah, you just never know with grass, but she pushed through, which is great to see. So it'll be interesting to see them match up with Moboko, especially that it's the first time that they play against each other. So yeah, they have two complete different playing styles as well, so it will be even more interesting. It is unfortunate that we have two black players playing against each other, but at the same time, it's going to be very fun because, again, two different players, two different backgrounds. Both, the only one thing that they have in common is the fact that they both made it to like main draw for the first time at Wimbledon and going to the second round. Yeah. So, yeah, that's really big.
But so yeah, exactly. That's a good point. This is Baptiste did play doubles, which mm-hmm. was the second round a couple of years ago. But yeah, this is her first singles main draw appearance at Wimbledon. So
yeah,
two debutantes in the singles draw facing off in the second round. Like, it's exciting. And like, obviously for us and the platform we are, like, it's huge. It's mm-hmm. just a shame, like you said, that they have to meet so early. But then on the bright side, we're going to have a player in the third round. So, yeah, may the best girl win. Yeah. moving on to the guys now then. Ben 10.
Mm-hmm.
Temp seed Ben Shelton secured his first straight sets win at Wimbledon, taking out fellow lefty Alex Bolt in straight sets, 6-4, 7-6, 7-6. Two tie breaks at the end to close it out. Good match from Shelton. I thought... considering, yeah, this is his first time winning in straights, because last year, obviously, he made a run to the fourth round. Every single one of, well, I say every, the three matches he won to get to the fourth round all went to five.
Mm-hmm.
Then he lost to Yannick Sinner in the fourth round, didn't he? And then the year before that, he also won his first round match. And that was also, definitely wasn't straight sets. It was a four set or possibly five. But yeah, he came through today in straight sets. I just looked comfortable. Like I thought as well, in terms of now him being a top 10 player, like it's like elevated status in terms of there's like, he's always kind of had the clout next to his name because obviously he's got the big game and like he's a big character. But yeah, I do feel like when you crack top 10, there's like a different aura like around you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just me, like that's just an opinion that I have. But yeah, I feel Ben, he has the game to kind of live up to that and surpass it. Like he's top 10 is not going to be where he ends. Like he's going to achieve more than just being a top 10 player.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you said in press as well about basically the ranking doesn't really matter to him. He just wants to win titles. I was like, love that. Like, it's just the right mentality to have, like as a pro.
Yeah.
In terms of like, yeah, ultimately your job is to win. Like, mm-hmm. and the tough thing about tennis, you're spending a lot of time losing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just always, I'm always impressed like when I hear him speak, because he just, there's always like a clear kind of perspective that he has and like outlook that I appreciate basically. And I think that's why his kind of rise has been like so quite, like it's been quite fast, let's be real. Like yeah. coming out of college, doing what he's done, like he's basically played pretty well at every single Grand Slam, maybe barring the French.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's had good results at all the slams. Like, and this is what, his second or third year on tour?
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very good to see Shelton progress.
Yeah, he faces Rinki Hijikata next.
Another Aussie.
The head-to-head is 1-0 to Shelton. And actually that match was even like a grass match as well, Mallorca last year. And the second set, his straight set, second set, he even bageled him. So yeah, so this should be a comfortable win for Shelton. Yeah, especially that, again, he's made it to the second week last year. So yeah, I'm hoping it will be another, again, straight sets match, because yeah, these long matches can get like a lot of fatigue, grass as well.
That's what you said as well. Like, it takes a lot out, took a lot out of him last year.
It
winning
did.
Back to back to back five setters, like it does a lot on the body. So yeah. to come through in straights today definitely is going to do him a lot of favors
mm-hmm.
going into his next match.
Yeah.
Next up,
yep.
Le Monf, Gael Monfils, upsets fellow Frenchman and good friend, you could say, Hugo Humbert, the 18th seed, in a five-setter, like typical Le Monf match for me. So yeah, Le Monf won that 6-4, 3-6, 6-7, 7-5, 6-2, just in just under 4 hours. And that was on court 12, the same court. Well, that's where we started our day today, court 12,
mm-hmm.
which we'll come on to later on. But yeah, good to see Monfils come through in that, because I don't think many people kind of had him winning that match, just because obviously Humbert was the 18th seed, obviously a lot younger. But then again, with Monfils, like he can kind of turn it on like when he wants, and he's still got it even though he's 38 years old. Like, and I know he doesn't like kind of focusing on the age too much, but it is remarkable like what he's doing at this age.
Well, to be fair, the head-to-head is not too crazy. And Monfils did win their recent match, even though that was like hardcore and stuff. But Hugo as well has been quite like up and down recently, although he's still ranked high. I feel like since the loss in Paris Rolex Masters he's not really been the same. I've not really been keeping up with this. I don't know if it might be injury or it's just a mental thing or it's just something going on, but
as in Humbert?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I personally had Monfils winning this, but in five. I didn't think it would be like a quick match or like a big upset for Monfils. And
wow.
Yeah. Humbert also is not, like his record on grass is not like something really like crazy as well. At the end of the day, even if, you know, someone like Monfils is getting older and stuff, he's much more experienced. So it is what it is. I mean, Hugo did make it to the fourth round last year, so I guess that makes for it. But yeah, I mean, I just personally wasn't too surprised basically by the result. I always had Monfils winning in five, to be honest. But massive shout out to both for still pushing through. Monfils is facing Martin
Fucsovics next. The lucky loser. Who also won in five.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that go. Like that type of matchup, for instance, I feel like it's going to be like quite a bit more tough, to be honest, compared to Hugo.
Interesting.
But yeah, we'll see how that goes. So massive shout out to Monfils for pushing through. Hit 70 winners the match today, which is pretty impressive.
28 aces as well, which is, I thought, was quite significant.
Yeah, so yeah.
Serve working well.
So yeah, pretty good.
Now on to, well, what we don't like talking about, defeats. But we have to talk about them. And we had a few today, unfortunately. Let's start with Heather Watson. That was our first match of the day, on court 12. So yeah, Heather actually, she took the first set against 23rd seed Clara Towson, 6-2, but then lost in three sets, 6-4, 6-3, in the second and third. I thought she looked really good, Lucy. And it's tough for me as well. Like, I just personally speaking, I don't think it's great to be the first match on. But I mean, considering the start Watson made, like, she made a very good start. So yeah, I mean, she probably wasn't too affected by the early start.
Yeah, I mean, she was breaking early stuff. She was very, like, she looked like very, like, comfortable. And it was pretty tight, to be honest. It was pretty tight. I mean, he did go into three sets. It was 2-6, 6-4, 6-3 to Towson. But yeah, one thing I'll give credit for to Watson is her ability to find so many different varieties when she's hitting, and it's so quick as well. So like, she would hit slices and then she would do like drop shot, like literally it was just one thing after another.
I think that speaks to her doubles game, because she's a very good doubles player. That's true. Very competent, yeah, like, on the doubles court.
But her serves did cost her like the match a lot as well, especially as the match was going. But yeah, it was a tough one. I honestly did think that she was going to win it the way that she was playing.
Yeah, same.
The you know, after that first set win, but even the second set before, like, she broke, like, the beginning of the match of the set, she was still playing well. It's just that it was a really tight match. Like, as much as the scoring 6-4, 6-3 for the last two sets, it was still pretty tight. So yeah, massive shout out to Watson. She is still playing doubles anyways. I think she might actually be playing mixed doubles with Clark.
Oh really?
Because Clark mentioned, which we'll talk about him later, he mentioned in his press that he might play. And
he's waiting to hear if he gets in.
Yeah, so maybe it will be with Watson. Who knows? So yeah, so she's still playing doubles. So yeah, so she'll still be around. So yeah, best of luck to her.
Do you know who she's playing doubles with in ladies?
Yeah, I'll give the doubles list later on. But yeah, she is still playing. I can't remember the top of my head right now, but yeah.
Our second defeat of the day was the match that continued from day one. So Giovanni Pecci-Perricard continuing concluding the five setter against fifth seed Taylor Fritz.
Yeah.
You went to that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Was it second on number one or center?
It was second on number one. The number one ticket holders today really got their money's worth. Like, they had Draper, Djokovic, Coco, GMP, Fritz. They really got their money's worth today.
That fifth set was 6-4 in the end to Fritz.
Yeah, it was. Fortunately, the errors did cost GMP. He's trying not to, when I went to his press, he was saying that he was, you know, trying not to think too much about like the 5-1 from the tiebreak of the fourth set. Obviously, a lot of people are going to say that, but he said that, yeah, he was frustrated about that, but he said that he doesn't have any regrets from the match. Good. And just learning from it and knowing what to do next. Obviously, a lot of people were talking about the whole like supervisor thing with Fritz when they were trying to end the match. And just like I said yesterday, it was a thing of like the supervisor was just trying to make it seem like GMP didn't want to play, and that was the only he didn't want to play, but they're making it seem like it was mainly because of this decision. But even Fritz in his press said that he understood that what the supervisor were trying to do. But for GMP's side of things, he just felt like he didn't want to continue, and then the match being like a 4-4 and having to stop.
Which makes sense.
yeah, it makes sense. Although I didn't know that if let's say it was 4-4 and it was like curfew time, they could have actually potentially maybe continued.
Really?
But I think the supervisors, like, yeah, it's happened before.
Okay.
Like, whereas, like, they've went just a little bit. But I think it just depends on the scoring. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. What's meant to happen was meant to happen. It was a long match. 5-set, which I expected. But, yeah, it is unfortunate, especially that he had a lot of points to defend with making it all the way to the fourth round last year. I think he's... I'm glad that he's trying to look at the positive, but you could tell that he was very gutted because he was like very, very close. And I think it's mainly because of that tiebreak from the fourth set, which definitely you can understand. But again, it's not like he lost to one small player. He lost to Fritz, who's coming in Wimbledon, 2 titles, seeded number 5. And he seems like really comfortable on grass, which I personally didn't really expect from Fritz personally, but he's been doing really well. So yeah, it's not like he lost to one next person. I hope that GMP gets to work on, like, you know, returning better, giving more things, and working a lot on the errors. Because literally, for example, this match, Fritz had 15 errors, whereas 15 unforced errors, whereas GMP had 63 unforced errors. So it just shows to you, you know, how much things need to be, how that area really needs to be worked on. Because when that tiebreak happened, it was also because of GMP. It wasn't just Fritz returning better. Some of these errors as well, what really did cost him some of the points during that tiebreak. So yeah, hopefully he gets to work on that. And yeah,
I just feel like this is a learning. He's basically going through a learning process.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very early in his career as
for
a pro.
Sure.
So these kind of results, like, they're not shocking or surprising. If anything, I think he should take a lot away from it, because to lose in 5 sets to the 5th seed, that is pretty good going.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that, yeah, it was the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he reached the 4th round last year. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, he's not going to have many first round losses at mm-hmm. Grand Slams. I can say that with a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, massive, massive shout out to Giovanni, man.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, well played to Taylor for closing it out the way he did.
Yep.
Next defeat, George Lofthagen, the British wild card.
Mm-hmm.
He actually won the first set against Pedro Martinez, 6-2, and then went on to lose in 4 sets, 2-6, 4-6, 2-6. Again, this is a match, well, I say again, this is a match I didn't actually see a ball, like a ball being hit between either player, because I was watching Christopher Eubanks.
Yeah.
And I pretty much stayed throughout that. We'll get onto that later on, but... Yeah, you saw a bit of Lofthagen. What did you make of him?
Yeah, I did. So I was kind of familiar already with his game, which is why I was interested in watching. And obviously, him winning in like 4 sets, the first set he played incredibly well. And it was mainly because of his serve. Like, his serves were so good. I think he had like 92% first serves points won, and the unforced errors were like 5. Like, he was just on different type of smoke. And then literally as the matches kept going, like, the serves were just lowering. Like, we went from 91% to the last set where it was 20%. So it just shows to you how much, and he even said it during his press himself, like, he was like, yeah, my serves were just really bad as it was going. But on the bright side, the last time I watched him play, he had a lot of difficulties to control the power from his forehand and control his serve. So I'm really, really glad that he's been able to work on that. But yeah, it is unfortunate. I really wish that he could have kept up from that first set, or at least taken it to 5 sets, just to, you know, be out there. But the fact that he already knew what he needed to work on just shows that he was ready. He even said that he's going again to like another grass tournament in Nottingham. So he's going to go there.
Challenger.
Like a challenger. So yeah, grass is not over for him. But yeah, at least he got his wild card. He got to play. It's nice to see the growth, basically. So yeah, a shout out to George on that. But I feel like if he keeps on working in that serve and is consistent, he could definitely go far, especially on grass.
No, well said. Another Brit, we kind of mentioned him earlier. So Jay Clark, he lost to fellow British wild card Dan Evans. Evans has been, well, been registering some big wins during this grass season. But yeah, Clark lost that 1-5 and 2. So yeah, straight sets. But again, I didn't watch a lot of this match because I was watching Chris. But from what I did see, there was a pickup in kind of level in the second set, considering Clark lost the first set 6-1. To lose the second 7-5, it shows that, yeah, he picked things up.
I feel like each of the set at the beginning, he was like, he was like getting there, and then Dan Evans just being Dan Evans. So like those times where he was really like close, although, you know, I feel like once he got broken, I think he got a little bit into like in his head. And yeah, I think facing someone like Dan Evans is not as easy. Not necessarily on the fitness side, but you know, his experience, he's done really well. And that's why I've always felt like when I saw the draw, I was like, yeah, this is going to be a very tough one, especially that, you know, Clark is trying to get back into his feet and everything. But I actually did ask him about this during his press, about having to face Dan Evans, and like, what was he thinking, and did he feel any pressure? Especially that they're both Brits as well. And then this is what he had to say.
Yeah, Dan's obviously, he's been very good in the recent past, and obviously grass, I think it's, you can kind of hide, you know, I don't think he's as, I'd say, as fast or, you know, as good a shape or playing as well as he was obviously when he was 20 in the world, 30 in the world, but you know, he's very experienced. Going into the match, obviously it's one of those things, you know, it could be much worse, could have been playing, you know, one of the high seeds in the first round. But also there's a lot of guys who maybe aren't as good on grass as Dan. Obviously he's had a lot of good wins over the past few weeks on the grass. So yeah, mixed feelings going into the match. It was more just excitement to be back here playing Wimbledon. Yeah, it's just obviously a shame how it ended up. But
so yeah, so mixed feelings, as he said. which makes sense. You know, you're playing at Wimbledon, you didn't have to play for qualifying, wild cards. But yeah, at least, you know, he got himself out there, and at least he lost to Dan Evans. It wasn't something like, you know, I feel like the best way to make Dan Evans lose is just to make him tired, just keep on making him tired. But again, you know, his grass is something, is somewhere where he plays well. And Dan Evans has been very open about being under a lot of pressure. Like, he was emotional at press not too long ago. So I think he went in like very like filled up and focused. And I think, you know, Clark, maybe he had like a little bit more nerves and stuff. So, which he kind of said as well. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I was impressed with Clark in press as well, just because, yeah, to kind of speak so clearly and like so well after a defeat, deserves a lot of credit for that. And I just feel like, yeah, it just shows like a lot of maturity like on his side. And he's had a good season. Like he won his first challenger like a few months ago. He's in a good place, like injury free now after his surgeries, playing good tennis. Obviously the grass stint is so short. He did say he's going to go back and play a clay court event after a little break. So, and clay is his favorite surface. So yeah, hopefully he can like continue to pick up the wins. And we should hopefully see him in the qualifying draw for the US Open. Yeah. Now he's a top 200 player. So yeah, I think a good few months or last few months for Clark, and a good effort against Evans today. Next defeat. Well, the final men's defeat actually of the day. So Christopher Eubanks, tough five setter against Jasper de Jong of the Netherlands. Eubanks lost that 3-6, 7-6, 7-5, 3-6, 6-7. So yeah, a lot of tie breaks there. And that final set tie break, so it wasn't 3-7, it was. So it was a 10-point tie break in the fifth set. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm getting confused. But yeah, it was a tough loss for Chris, just because I felt like the match was on his racket. Like after winning sets 2 and 3, I thought, okay, he's got all the momentum now going into the fourth. He's going to take it in this fourth set. But to De Jong's credit, and this is something I've not watched a lot of De Jong play, I'm being honest. Like I've heard of the name and like I've seen bits and pieces of him, but yeah, seeing him in person,
mm-hmm.
not the tallest guy. Like
mm-hmm.
I want to say he's probably under 6 foot, possibly mm-hmm. he might just scrape 6 foot. But the serve, I was like, this guy's got a bit of a bomb of, mm-hmm. of a first serve.
Yeah.
Hitting
yeah.
a lot of aces. His ball toss as well, like it's weird. Like it looks like he's throwing it in front of him, like mm-hmm. up in front.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, obviously he's used to doing that, but for me, I was like, surely he's going to foot fault, but he always catches it in time
yeah.
to not foot fault.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a massive, massive weapon for him against Eubanks. And obviously Eubanks being, 6'8", 6'9", like the serve is a massive weapon for him too. And it was firing today. Like it definitely got him out of a lot of trouble, like especially in those two tie breaks that he won.
Yeah.
But yeah, to lose a match like in a fifth set tie break, that's always going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. For sure, yeah.
And obviously Chris is our guy. Like it's sad to see him go out first round, made the quarters in 2023. Mm-hmm. So Wimbledon is a special place for him. But yeah, I think a great effort because yeah, De Jong played good tennis and that's why ultimately he won.
Yeah.
So yeah, unlucky Chris, but mm-hmm. yeah, good effort. And our two final defeats. So Alicia Parks losing to Belinda Bencic in straight sets. And that was a 11-3 defeat for Parks. Didn't see that coming, Lucy, I'm not going to lie to you.
I mean, it's not like she lost to, I mean, it is Belinda Bencic, and she's had quite a few time off and stuff. So maybe she came back like recharged and everything. And when she's locked in, it's like a different type of ball game. But yeah, I didn't really watch the match, so I can't really like say much, but I knew this was going to be a tough first round because it's Bencic.
Parks picked up in the second set, like obviously losing the first 6-love, you know. There's not much to really say there. But yeah, she definitely picked things up in the second. I think she held serve twice, or no, three times actually.
Mm.
Nearly broke Bencic to, I think, level up, but wasn't able to. And then, yeah, Bencic just basically ran away with it. But I think, again, like that for me was more of a match of, or story of like Bencic's experience. Kind of just allowing her to just come through quite comfortably
mm-hmm.
Because Parks was getting quite frustrated like with the errors she was making and I feel again like when she gets mentally like in her head, it's not a good place because yeah, she can kind of throw off her whole game, like, and that's kind of what happened today,
yeah,
unfortunately. So yeah, hopefully she bounces back during the US hard court swing.
Because
mm-hmm. yeah, she's still a top 50 player. I'm not sure where her ranking will be actually after Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like she's obviously still going to be in the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do hope like she can start to like turn some results around because she's like too talented, man. Like, and I think a lot of people want to see her like do well. Obviously yeah. we do. So yeah, tough one for Parks today, but well played, Bencic.
Mm-hmm.
Our final defeat, Taylor Townsend, losing to 28th seed Sofia Kenin in straight sets. And that was 6-7, 2-6. So tiebreak in the first, and then, yeah, it's 2-6 in the second set. Kenin, too, should note, she is the 28th seed. So tough draw, I think, for Townsend.
Yeah, for sure.
The women's doubles champion from last year. You were at that match?
No, I wasn't actually. No, I was at Coco's match. Oh, of and course. I was also at of the course. Presser's. So yeah, her match was around the time where there was a lot of things going on. But again, that was the same as Benchick Park's. Andrews was going to be very, very tough. I feel like Townsend is a better singles player on hard court than grass, especially facing someone like Kennan, where obviously she's not where she was at the very beginning, but I've said it this season, she's been really picking up some wins. She's been working her way back up. So you put that into perspective. So yeah, I wasn't too surprised, but it is what it is. I'm just glad that at least she's going to be playing doubles. I'm pretty sure she'll be playing mixed doubles as well. And yeah, just little by little, we'll get there. So yeah, massive shout out to Taylor Townsend. And a good luck to Kennan for her next round.
No, well said. And our final defeat, probably the biggest story of the day, second seed, Coco Gauff.
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
Although she's not the only seed to fall. Let's just say we're well aware of that. But
I mean, yeah, the top seed in it on the men's side has been, yeah. I mean, kinda when you crazy. Look at the one side of the draw, literally the ones that could potentially fall into the quarterfinals are names that I'm going to be really respectful. I don't know who you are. but it just shows to you how much, like, you know, the top seeds have been out. And it's funny because someone did ask that question to Coco, and she basically literally says, like, you know, she thinks it's more have to do with how quick things go from clay into like grass and stuff.
The short turnaround.
And how, like, yeah, like Wimbledon is always the time where you get like, not random winners, but winners that you don't expect, or like names that really like popping up and stuff, because it's just the conditions are just very different. But yeah.
So, yeah, she obviously lost to Diana Yastremska in straight sets. So 7-6, 6-1. And I've got here in my notes, even though she was my pick, I'm kind of glad that now she gets some time off, like, to just rest, because it's been an intense, like, few months. Obviously, after winning the French and, like, going into the French, she made back-to-back WTA 1000 finals. Like, then after the French, did the whole kind of press tour, like, in the States, played the one grass court warm-up event in... Was it Bad Homburg?
Berlin,
sorry. Obviously lost that opening round match. So wasn't the best prepared. I say best, like, she wasn't match ready in terms of being grass court match ready, we can say, coming into Wimbledon.
I wish I kept saying, and that's why, like, aside from the fact that Yastremska, like, I feel like her playing style suits grass way better than Coco's. So you put that into perspective, you put that into the fact that you know, she had like a very like heavy back-to-back like clay season and everything, and didn't get to play as you said earlier. So yeah, I mean, the match itself, it was interesting. Like at the beginning, the thing is that at the beginning she was actually like getting there, like she was holding well, she was serving on well, till, you know, Diana started returning a lot better, and she was just hitting down the line. Like some of the shots were just really like crazy, like they were very solid returns.
And she went down a break in the first set, Coco, early, and then she fought back.
Yeah,
which I thought again was like, okay, this is Coco Gauff, like.
Yeah, but as I was saying, like, it was still like Diana, like she was really having like slow returns, and like it was difficult for Coco to like catch up and stuff. So it wasn't too like surprising, because her level was up. So that's the thing. At the end of the day, I had to give credit to Yastremska as well. But at 5-3, like, Coco did return better and was more in control. The one thing that Yastremska actually didn't really do as well is her serves. It wasn't.
This is a media announcement. Novak Djokovic is on his way to the media theatre. Novak Djokovic is on his way to the media theatre.
Sorry, guys. So so everyone's mentioning Coco's serve, but Diana's serves as well really did decline, especially towards the end of the first set and also the second set. But either way, it was a thing of like, Coco just taking the opportunity. So she was very close of actually potentially like making that first set longer. But again, Yastrzemska was just different, which I kind of expected. And I think that started getting into Coco's head going into the second set, because that is when her double faults were hitting a little bit more. And, you know, you could see her going at it to her box. But in all honesty, I just feel like it hasn't even been like a month since she's won her last Grand Slam. Mm. I did not have high expectations, in all honesty, mainly because, again, the switch from clay to grass is literally like so close to each other. And even regarding that, you know, I was going to ask her that, but someone did ask her, you know, talking about how, like, was it a thing of grass not being the best for her, or was it a thing of, like, you know, it's been like a hell of a few weeks since Paris, and this is what she said.
I think a little bit of both. I think I don't know, I felt like mentally I was a little bit overwhelmed with everything that came afterwards, so I didn't feel like I had that enough time to do, I guess, celebrate and then also like get back into it. But, you know, it's the first time in of this experience of like coming off a win and having to play Wimbledon. And I definitely learned a lot of what I would and would not do again. But yeah, I mean, also she played great. I mean, when I saw the draw and knew it would be a tough match for me. And I mean, I think obviously I played her on clay and I think that surface suits me a little bit better. And it was still a tough three setter. So, yeah, I knew today would be tough and I had chances, but yeah, it is what it is.
So yeah, so again, a little bit of both, of course. And her answer is why, again, I kept saying in the draw, like, I think this is going to be tough, and mainly because of just the fact that it is what it is. It's not like a thing of like, I didn't believe in Coco or felt like Coco is not like a good player. None of that. It's just that, you know, you look at who Diana is as a type of player, you look at how Coco has been playing the last couple of months, which has been a lot on her. You know, she had a big goal with French Open, but most importantly, we should also touch on her doing her press. All of this is the first time for her experiencing this. Mm. So all of this is new and everything. So yeah, you know, when she won her last slam, it happened very quickly. And she didn't have to go back to another slam. She didn't have to go back to doing so many things. Even her press wasn't the same because TV writers at the time were striking. So her press wasn't as busy, hence why she did her Vogue cover so much like later. That was probably her only big thing that she did. Whereas after French, she was everywhere. So yeah, it's all different type of things. And she was a little bit emotional at the end of her press because she was like, you know, like, I don't like losing.
Love that.
And she understands that, you know, she just won French and everything, but she doesn't like losing. And you can tell that she definitely wants to improve on grass. Like, she mentioned how, you know, it's too early. She's too young and too early in her career for her to be like writing off grass, which is really a really great mentality to have, because a lot of tennis players early in their career, they're like, you know what, I'm not going to do the best on this surface because of X, Y, Z. You've had, you know, Venus Williams, for instance, clay was not her thing. She barely played it, although she's been very close, but that was very early in her career. But, you know, you have Ruud, who does not play grass, although right now he's injured. But before, he would go and play golf. Like, there's some people, it's just, they write it off, but it just shows you the mentality of Coco Gauff. So I am not worried at all. In fact, I'm even glad that she's done early. She gets to rest and she can focus on hard court. You know, the US Open lost last year really did get to her, so it's great for her to go back to America with a slam already in her bag. So I'm honestly like, everyone's just going on and on and on, and I'm just like, bro, it hasn't even been a month. I feel like we've celebrated that last slam like yesterday. So yeah, massive shout out to Coco. Love the fit as well, very different. And yeah, I'm looking forward to her doing hardcore. Go and rest, go TikTok, have fun, man. Like, enjoy. She didn't even have time to even process mentally what happened. So let her enjoy it. Now she can actually enjoy her win at French Open, and we'll be back next year. And that's it.
You can't rush greatness.
Yep. And that's it. I'll leave it there. Quickly, matches tomorrow. So we have Francis Tiafoe and Cam Nori. First match on number one court. We have Keys and Dani Lovic and we have Osaka and Siniakova. That's going to be really interesting.
Siniaka took out Zheng.
Yeah, she crazy. Did. She did. Paolini versus Rakimova. Felix versus Staff. And Giallo versus Fritz. And then the doubles begin tomorrow. So Watson is with Appleton, which you asked earlier. Okay, They do have a tough first round, Andreeva versus Schneider. We have Parks and Osorio versus Barnett and Silva. And we have Baptiste and McNally versus Haddad Myers and Sieg. So yeah, a massive shout out to everyone, the winners, the losers, everyone else. And yeah, we'll be back tomorrow, guys, for day three at Wimbledon. Make sure that you stay tuned on our socials, and it will be a fun day three, especially that we're going to be on the show courts as well on number one.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, guys, stay tuned. Make sure you rate, comment, subscribe, everything, and stay tuned on our social for our daily tweets and posts as well.